This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Good morning. Welcome to another game day eve, otherwise known as a Friday edition of the Blitz, live here on Fan Run Radio, FM 105.7, AM 1340. As always, on your dial up at fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top, powered by my bookie. We'll get the Periscope up and running here in just a moment. We also have the free Fan Run Radio app in app stores. If you like free things, free 99. Go ahead and download that today, wherever apps are sold for you. Beautiful Friday. Cooler temperatures continue to roll in here in East Tennessee. But it's time to get ready for a football game. Your Tennessee Vols travel to the Swamp. Tomorrow night, kickoff, 7 o'clock versus the Florida Gators, the hated Gators. Around here in these parts, but Tennessee will travel. First SEC game of the year, and also first road match of the year. So big things happening for the Big Orange. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier is on his way. Got stuck behind the train this morning. GB3's in here. So is Ryan. Time to go around the panel, see how the guy's mental health's doing. Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good, Chance. Yeah, I've been better just because I was really excited about yesterday's game. You know, really amped up, got some Christian McCaffrey on FanDuel, and then he decides to disappear out of thin air. So that was a little bit of a bummer, but now back to the optimism about the Vols. So I'm doing good. Doing good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. GP, how are you doing?
I'm feeling pretty good this morning. I got my morning Friday workout in, and then after talking so much about bagels yesterday, I decided to stop by and get me an everything bagel for breakfast.
So you got you a bagel.
Hey.
Just bagel and some cream cheese, coffee.
Love it. And, Love it.
Aside from losing a decent amount of money because Christian McCaffrey got hurt last night, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, McCaffrey went down. Another big blow to McCaffrey fantasy holders. Did we get an update on how bad he's hurt or anything like that?
I turned the game off after he got hurt.
Yeah, it was a hamstring strain, so they're still kind of trying to determine the severity, but it looks like Noah McCaffrey, he'll be out next week.
Well, I mean, as soon as he went off the sidelines, they said, yeah, he's out for the game. Like, they just they knew it wasn't something that he'd be able to play through.
Yeah, one of those things. Kind of the best ability is availability, and he has had some trouble being available in his short NFL tenure so far. Noticed that, though, earlier. I guess he went out early second half, correct?
Yeah.
Second quarter.
Yeah, second quarter. Okay. I was watching the game in and out. I was watching from the other job, so I was kind of catching it when I could. But did notice that he did go down. I guess that's the biggest story of the day as far as the NFL goes. Pretty decent Thursday night football game.
I don't know.
It was decent.
DJ Moore.
Like I said, DJ Moore, you caught it.
Yes, sir.
I turned it off after McCaffrey got hurt.
Yeah, a little tough to watch with no McCaffrey, no huge star power in that. Sam Darnold, he's playing the best football of his career so far early on in this season. But, I get it. Not a lot after that.
There was some star power. General Mills, my top four, bottom four, middle four quarterback.
Is that what we're calling him now?
General Mills. Yeah.
General Mills.
I saw it come around. You know it's got a nice little ring to it.
General Mills, huh? That's a throwback right there.
You doing good today, Chance?
Yeah, man. I can't complain. I got off to a little bit of a slow start this morning. Friday's always a little bit tougher than normal than the other days of the week, but feeling pretty good. I feel like, you know, though, you know, when you don't know about getting old. You're not that old, Ryan, but getting up there in age. You know, I told you guys I was trying to start working out again.
Yeah.
Well, I think I overdid it the other day. You always hurt worse 2 days after. So I really put in a lot of work, put me down this morning. I woke up with, like, just this pain in my elbow. Just could not shake it. It's like, man, it's just the perils of getting older, maybe getting wiser, but definitely not getting more flexible.
You're feeling a little bit better, though, right? It's like even when you hurt after you go to the gym, you're still like, heck yeah, I went to the gym.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel good about trying to get my health back on track and go to the gym. Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt along the way, though, Ryan.
True.
Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt along the way. Not as spry as I used to be, as the as the kids say. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. That is our number here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Cheer on the Big Orange of White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted with quality ingredients, White Claw Hard Seltzer is made from a blend of seltzer water, a gluten-free alcohol base, and a hint of fruit flavor. With just 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and 5% alcohol, available in 16 deliciously refreshing flavors. Please drink responsibly. You might need some White Claw this weekend as you cheer on your Big Orange, taking on the Gators. Never know how this one might go. Keep your cup on. That's all I'm telling you. On the other side, we'll continue to preview the Gators and the Vols. We'll give you some keys to victory, tell you what we'll be looking for in tomorrow night's game. Also, I'll get on the horn and see if we got a Rick Butler Friday coming for you. Keep it locked here for more Fan Radio after the break.
Apex Pest Control.
Welcome back to the Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Charlie Collier is with us now, so we got a full house. But I need to let you guys know, The Drive, and also Talk Sports, John and the boys, there is going to be a special double remote going on today at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. That's right, a special live 6-hour fan run broadcast at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge today. From noon until 6 p.m., Talk Sports and The Drive will both broadcast live from the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. It's right there on the main drag in the Pigeon Forge Factory Outlet Mall. It's going to be a tailgate party all day Saturday, people, featuring 50-cent wings, $2. That's right, $2 domestic drafts and $10.99 12-inch two-topping pizzas all day long. So go get your fix. That's right, go kick off the weekend with Fan Run Radio today from noon until 6 at the Axe House in Pigeon Forge. So you want to head up there?
You should absolutely, like, 100% pull up. I've been there before. Great drinks. The pizza was delicious.
Heck yeah.
The axe throwing is a ton of fun. And if you want to maybe, you know, make a little bit of money, go egg John Reed on. Get him to throw 20 on a game with you.
Is that what you do?
And you can beat him because he's terrible. He was one of the worst axe throwers I've ever seen in my entire life. But he's like me, where he's overly confident in himself. You can definitely get him to bet on some axe throwing.
Hey, love to hear it. Go up there and challenge some of your favorite fan run brethren to some axe throwing. Get you a pizza while you're there. Go back on Saturday, take advantage of the big tailgate that they got going on all weekend. Tennessee will be back in the orange pants, boys. That's right. They announced on social media.
Orange, what orange pants?
They'll be back in the orange
You mean
pants.
Orange britches, Chance?
They'll be back in the orange britches. That's right, Charlie. They announced yesterday on the social media account they'll be wearing the traditional white helmets and white road jerseys paired with the orange pants.
Oh, my goodness.
The same orange pants that you saw in the Johnny Majors Classic 2 weeks ago at Neyland Stadium against Pitt. Those pants debuted in the 1977 season. Those of you keeping up along at home. And it says right here at GoVols 247, it's the first time Tennessee has worn orange pants at Bill Hill Griffin Stadium since 2011, according to Chad Fields. Shout out to our guy, Chad Fields, uniform guy. He used to work here back in the day.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he was one of our sales guys.
Oh, love Chad. Yeah. Chad's he also dude. Likes Canadian football.
Does he?
Yeah, we
doesn't surprise me. Yeah. He's a big uniform guy. They have some very eclectic uniforms in the Canadian football circuit.
That has me. Oh, that has me juiced up, Chance.
So, yeah, wearing the orange
britches. That has
love
me
em.
So juiced up. I love them. Love them. Absolutely love them. I don't like the stormtrooper look. You just look like every other team when you're wearing all whites. But when you know, wear a splash of your own colors on the pants, like the orange pants, it's just a look that I've always liked. And that's for a lot of teams. When you go on the road, I prefer like a white on color.
I actually don't mind the stormtrooper look. I think it looks pretty cool. I do like the white on white. I feel like that was introduced during Butch's tenure. I do like those, though. But I enjoy the orange pants, so pretty excited to hear about that. And surprised it's been so long since they've worn them there. That's pretty cool.
I'm
bringing them back.
I'm so excited right now.
You're pretty excited?
Yeah, I mean.
Has the hype increased over the week for you?
Well, every day. Every day I've dreamt about the Tennessee-Florida game each night.
Mm-hmm.
But last night was the first time that I finished. Like, each night.
That's what she said.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry. Yeah. I knew where you were going when you started laughing. I wanted to definitely make the Michael Scott joke.
I wanted to say something, but.
I mean, there's you know,
shout away for the
dreams,
appropriate time.
Other, there's a lot of stuff there. But, like, each night has just been, like, parts of the day. You know, like, I've dreamt that it was the Florida game, and then, you know, I went and I made some burgers, and I was watching some other college football getting ready, and. You know, I've dreamt, and then I've woken up before the game starts, and then finally last night I dreamt, like, to the part where I was in the actual game, and I dreamt that I was just sitting on my couch watching it.
Did you do work? Oh, you just dreamt that you were watching the game, not that you were out there playing.
Yeah, I was just sitting there watching it.
Okay.
We won.
Okay.
38-34.
Bringing some hope on this Friday, Charlie.
We won 38-34, and it was really realistic, so I'm going to take that as a sign, but, I mean, between the Ryder Cup starting today, which... was electric this morning. Between that, the Titans and the Colts this weekend, and then the Vols down in the swamp, I feel like every inch of my body, like the body hair, is just on fire in the best possible way.
You're feeling good.
Feel like I feel like I could start a fire just by looking at something hard
we
enough.
Didn't start the fire. My is burning since the world's been turning. Billy Joel.
You know about that, Charlie?
It's Billy Joel.
I know a lot about Billy Joel.
Okay, I was making sure.
You know that I like music like a lot.
You didn't
know
about Billy Joel. You didn't start singing along, so.
Yeah, you didn't. You remember from The Office?
Because that's what I was trying to think of. I was
Ryan
like.
Ryan started the fire.
That's what, I couldn't remember whose name it was because I'm not a huge Office guy. But
Ryan.
I was sitting there like, who started the fire in the office that they sang about?
It was Ryan. Now, I'm pretty excited, too, as the week has gone along. I'm nervous. I'm not nervous for the game. I have a golf tournament tomorrow that I signed up for feverishly stupid enough, like months. Like, I'm telling you, like, probably about 8 months ago, these guys asked me to do a golf tournament. It's in Crossville. I even have to work tonight very late. Probably get off till the wee hours. So I'm going to get a lot of sleep. I think this golf tournament starts like 8:30. I'm not too excited about it. It's one of those things where you agreed to it months and months out. And then you kind of wanted to cancel because I'll be honest, I don't even care if they're listening. I definitely wanted to cancel. But then I felt bad as we got closer. And then it was like, oh, it's too close now for me to cancel. I should have canceled like when I was asked about a month ago. Are you still playing? Like, nah, I think I got something that came up. So I'm hoping to be able to go up there, probably play awful golf. We're not going to win this tournament. These guys, they're pretty good, but I ain't played in a while. I'm probably going to shoot bad. I just know it. You know, you ain't picked up the clubs in a while. If you don't use it, you lose it. Go up there, hopefully run through this tournament as fast as I can on this very, very nice course, Bear Trace in Crossville, one of the premier courses up there, apparently. I've never played it. Hopefully run through this as fast as I can and then get back to Knoxville for the game at 7 o'clock. I don't think it should be a problem with an 8 o'clock, you know, tournament. Likely a lot of people in this tournament. But I was like, surely, you know, if it starts 8 to 9, you know, shotgun starts, surely I'll be done by like 4 o'clock. And I'll be able to get back. So, kind of nervous about that. But I am pretty excited about the game. It's coming waves. Excited about the game still. Not necessarily too confident. I've said that I thought that the Vols would get boat race. Maybe I'm just talking myself. Reverse psychology. And I'll call the boat race by the Gators. And then Tennessee goes out and wins a close one. That's what we hope for. But initially, that's where I'm at. Has anything changed for you, GP3, or you, Ryan? You feeling any less confident, any more confident as we're going along?
I'm feeling less confident, and I don't know why. It's just maybe when the game's not tomorrow, you can have some optimism, like, oh, some stuff can change between now and then. But after Florida's play against Alabama and just the slow start I feel like we've had to the season, I'm not very optimistic going into tomorrow. I'm excited because there's always the possibility, but I don't think it's going to turn out in our favor.
Yeah, and I'm just, like, you know, getting closer, getting more and more excited. So I wouldn't say that the caliber of play for Tennessee's been changed any different in my head, but my enthusiasm and optimism definitely is higher up. So that optimism is going to brush on me kind of wanting to get more of that closer score.
Yeah. I can see it, the both perspectives there. I mean, kind of feeling a lot like GP3. Maybe tomorrow I'll feel a little bit more sheepy. And, like, I'll be like, yeah, Tennessee can go down here. Night game in the swamp, even though you haven't won there, but three times in your last, I think, what did we look at, nine meetings? Or since 97, it was three times they've won in the swamp.
Ew.
So that's a tall order. Maybe these guys are up for it, though. Maybe these guys are up for it, and they look at the challenge and, you know, welcome it. That's what we hope for. Hope with Cooper Mays likely back in the lineup. Maybe you see Joe Milton. Maybe you didn't. Josh Heupel continues to say no update on the quarterback status right now. We talked about yesterday. Joe Milton's got some work during the course of the week, is what Heupel said. Find out more tomorrow with him. He's talking about today. But some of the other guys that maybe you didn't see last week, they anticipate most of those guys being able to play, though.
Don't you think with sports gambling becoming more and more legal across the country that they need in college, they need to present
an injury report
like they do in the NFL. I mean,
eventually they probably will have one.
It just seems a little ridiculous at this point that it's the day before the game, and I'm not going to comment on the health status of our starting quarterback.
Well, maybe it's some savvy move to that of what he's doing.
I think it is, too. I think Milton might go out there and start tomorrow, and they're just doing this to, you know, play Florida, get them to prepare for Hooker.
But the first big test outside of that Pitt game, you saw Tennessee put up a lot of points there, just came up short late. But the first SEC test for first-year Tennessee coach Josh Heupel. First road test, first SEC game for him in the big boy conference now. So we'll see how he squares up versus Dan Mullen. It's not going to be easy. You got a great coach in Mullen. He's got a very talented team. You're going to get the double whammy of Emory Jones and also Anthony Richardson. Looks like he's going to be healthy, be out there. So that's an added element for you to game plan against. But at the same time, maybe Hendon Hooker, maybe he's that wild card that comes out there if you don't see a Joe Milton, or maybe you see a Joe Milton and he looks better than ever because he rises to the big occasion. 865-546 8200 546-8200. That's our number to get on the G3 Help Me hotlines. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III can help you get the compensation that you deserve. At G3, you matter most. Visit G3HelpMe.com or call them up at 865-401-8214 to get help now. That's G3HelpMe.com. G3HelpMe.com. Again, G3HelpMe.com. On the other side, we'll look at the keys to victory. Continue to talk about the Vols on their first road SEC trip. Continue to keep it here. This is Fan Radio. This is The Blitz. Welcome back into The Blitz. Live here at FM 105.7, AM 1340. Chance Collins, Charlie Collier, GP3 back behind the booth answering your calls from G3 Help Me Hotline. They're open now. And intern Ryan doing the things behind the scenes that you know nothing about. Charlie, it's going to be a tough matchup. Give me some keys to victory that we can expect from the Vols to pull this out. Sway me. Win me over, Charlie. Tell me how the Vols are going to get it done in Gainesville for a skeptic like me today.
All right, so let's paint
the picture.
Let's paint a picture where Tennessee wins this football game. And just, you know, this isn't me saying it will happen or anything.
Let's just paint the picture. Let's think about it.
For it to happen, several things need to occur. Most importantly, you need to erase the penalties. I guess maybe most importantly, maybe not, but at least at a high level of importance, you cannot set yourself behind the chains, allow Florida to then, you know, dial up a lot of pressure, get exotic with their blitzes, and really hinder your offense. So you can't get yourself in second and 12s and first and 15s, and you got to try to stay on schedule, get ahead of the chains, obviously, and try to avoid those three and outs too, because when you're running, you know, 3 plays a minute, 3.08 plays per minute, that can be a really good thing for your offense when you're playing at that tempo. But it also means that, hey, if you can run 3 plays in a minute, you can go 3 and out in a minute. So you need to be able to find a way to just, even on the drives that you don't score, pick up a first down or two to try to hold that possession a little bit more. So that's one of it, being positive on first down and, staying ahead of the chains with the penalties. Also, you need to find a way to slow Florida's run game enough where the ball was then forced into Emory Jones' hands as a passer. If you can get him having to throw the ball, 20-plus times on Saturday, that is very much a recipe for success. If you can get him throwing the football, he might dot you up a couple times. He might make some good throws. He is an athlete, and he does have somewhat of an arm, but he'll make a lot of mistakes too, and you can potentially capitalize on those mistakes with turnovers. So you want to be positive with the turnover differential. If you can get Emory Jones throwing the football, see if you can pick a ball off or two. Stay ahead of the chains. Stay away from the penalties and force Emory Jones to throw the football. If you can do all those things, you can get yourself into a pretty competitive game in the second half. And then, that's where the pressure sets in for Florida. And that's where, if you're Tennessee, you're just playing with house money. You're playing free. You're playing with that kind of momentum. And lastly, you need to be able to connect on a couple shots down the field. Even if, you still overthrow a couple, you can still win this football game. But you got to be able to connect on one or two, because that's where, Florida's shown a weakness, is being able to, cover for a longer period of time or cover down the field in their secondary. And I know they have Elam, who's fantastic, but outside of that, they've kind of struggled. Their secondary has. So you got to be able to connect on some of those, make them respect it. That opens up your offense. And then also, you just need those big plays to be able to pull off an upset. So
you talk about trying to put the ball in
Emory
Jones' hands, keep him passing it. How do you contain if Anthony Richardson is able to go and slow him down?
The same way that you would Emory Jones, really. He's a better runner, but that doesn't mean you're going to play them any differently, because at the same time, they're both quarterbacks who will have design runs and who are a threat to run. When you blitz for contain. Or when you rush the passer, you rush the passer for contain. So that the two outside pass rushers, your job is to not let him out of the pocket and try to collapse it inwards. And then, the guy who usually is rushing in the middle of the defensive line, his job is to push the pocket in and mirror. You're not trying to rip off and chase necessarily. You're just trying to push forward and mirror. So that way, if he wants to try to scramble through the middle, that either of those A gaps, you can be there to make that tackle because you're not chasing. And then you can dial up pressure at times, and that's when that goes away. But, in just your standard coverage and rush, not bringing any extra people, that's what you're going to want to do, is blitz for contain and mirror in the middle.
You run a spy out there when Richardson?
You could also potentially run a spy. A lot of different ways to handle it. And then, you just have to be disciplined too. You have to be gap disciplined, especially when you have a run play where multiple people can be running the football. You can't over pursue on the backside. You can't, be that backside and try to shoot, a gap and try to blow up a running back, because that's when the quarterback will have it and keep it and run past where you're supposed to be. So you have to be disciplined with your eyes, and discipline with your assignments and getting in the right gap. And you really got to work as a unit. And that's, you know, that's how you stop a running quarterback, at least how you try to.
Hey, good stuff from you, Charlie. GP3, kind of the other side. You know, I asked what does Tennessee have to do to kind of contain Florida, what the keys to victory. I asked you the similar question, but you're Josh Heupel. What's going to be your game plan for your Vols to go out and pull the upset?
Attack downfield. I mean, I think that's what you got to do.
They're going to be playing a lot of press coverage.
You got to put faith in your quarterback to finally start hitting these throws. No matter who it is, you got to start hitting on these downfield throws. Heupel's offense lives on downfield passing. I mean, you got to be able to run the ball too. I don't think we're going to be able to all that well. Now, having Cooper back might help that some. But if you're not able to run the ball, we have the receivers who are able to outrun most DBs in this conference, I think. I think Jalin Hyatt can run past anybody. Javonte Payton's fast enough. And Walker Merrill has shown flashes, too, in the early playing time he's had. So you just got to connect on these deep passes. I think that's probably the main thing they've been practicing this week because it hasn't worked so far. But if you're able to connect downfield, I think you actually stand a pretty good shot. And that's the only thing keeping me personally back from thinking we're on upset alert.
Ryan, coming your way with this one, give me some impact players on the offense and defensive side of the ball that you're looking to make a statement down in the swamp.
Yeah, and I think, well, I want to start, since we're talking Cooper Mays with him being back, Tyon Evans. I would love to see him be able to keep up the shiftiness, because if he gets any work on the ground, that means that those deep balls, those deep opportunities will at least be open for us to be able to take those shots, to be able to start the train going towards the direction of Upset City. But so from that, I need to see Joe Milton be able to make the throws if it's Hendon Hooker out there. I need the quarterback to be a huge impact player, because clearly they are going to have a very strong day for us to be able to escape with any sort of, you know, victory right here. But on the defensive side of the ball, I need to see the linebacker step up right here, just because if they are the crazy running offense that we saw Florida was against one of the better defensive fronts in Alabama, we're going to need our boys to start playing pretty big as well. So that's why I'm really intrigued about Juwan Mitchell, trying to see what kind of his availability, what's going on with him, because there's been a lot of question marks surrounding him this last week. And Aaron Beasley, you know, the linebackers, guys like that just really need to take that step up for me.
What I'm getting from the three of you is basically Tennessee's got attack, get out on them early. Obviously, quarterback's going to be the focus. And I think the three of you also think that they got to connect vertically. Got to hit some of these shots down the field they've been trying to in all of these games.
Everything that we've kind of said in terms of things you need to do, we've done at one point or another this season.
Just haven't done for a full game.
But we haven't done any of these things consistently. So maybe it's unrealistic to think that all of a sudden, you know, you can go on the road and do all those things consistently for the first time this season. But that's how it needs to be done for you to really be able to win this thing. I think people might still be overrating Florida a little bit. And, you know, they played an amazing game against Alabama. They did. And all tons of credit to them. I mean, they really earned my respect. I didn't really have as much respect for them as, you know, maybe I should have coming into that game. But you can still look at the first two games, you know, with FAU and with USF. And there was a lot that was unimpressive about Florida in those games. So they really haven't had the consistency yet either. They're a beatable team. They can play like a beatable team, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. There are some things, like you say, that where they've struggled, especially in that FAU game, the South Florida game early on, and they closed out those games, but they did struggle in those games at certain points. And then they had a sense of resurgence against Alabama and played a damn good football game this past Saturday. So it's going to be a lot on Tennessee to do it all and to do it for 60 minutes. But it seems like it's possible. It seems like it is possible, and it's not Alabama. I mean, So
Kyle Trask isn't walking through that door.
Yeah, Kyle. Tim Tebow ain't walking through that door. Jesse Palmer ain't walking through that door.
Treon Harris ain't walking through
man.
That door.
Treon Harris. Don't bring back the nightmare.
I wish Tease Tabor was, though.
Yeah, it was a good year. That was a good year. How can a duck pull a truck? Quincy.
Quincy Nelson.
Yeah. I don't know if his last name was Nelson. Maybe his last name might have been Quincy, but it was the safety. No, he had a lot to say. Have you ever seen a duck pull a truck?
I thought, was that not Tease Tabor that was the one that was saying?
No, it was the safety.
No, it was
who
the safety.
So it was Jalen?
What?
No,
Jalen Tabor was talking a lot of smack too. But
yeah, just in Quince, general.
Oh, so it's Quincy Wilson.
Quincy Wilson.
Quincy Wilson, that is who his name is. Yeah, he was the one who famously said the
duck truck thing.
It was Quincy Wilson. I got it right
still,
here.
Still, in this moment, doesn't make a ton of sense.
He said, nobody has ever seen a duck pull a truck. Florida Gators are going to win. Simple as that. That's it on that. Any other questions, reporter? So are you guaranteeing a victory? Yeah, we're going to go out there and play Gator football and win.
You ever seen a
And we know what happened after that.
You know what? That was 5 years ago. Yeah. On this day, exactly.
On this day.
Because I was looking at my Snapchat memories and just feels like I sucked up a bunch of serotonin in a needle and just injected it right into my veins looking at those memories.
Well, those memories and this hour brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. NFL is back, people. That's right. The NFL is back. And the biggest game of Week 3 is the Monday night matchup between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers, that's right, you new customers, get 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I love the Eagles in this. I've been talking about it all week. Just don't really care that much for the Cowboys. And also, the Cowboys tend to come up short on primetime. We'll just be honest there. Facts are facts. So, maybe you make a same-game parlay. Maybe take the money line, the spread, touchdown score, first touchdown score. There are so many offers out there. And offers like this are just one of the many reasons we love betting the NFL and FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. You can't get much better than that. Number one rated sportsbook app in America. Easy to use. So easy, even Charlie can use it. Safe and secure, and fast payouts in as little as 24 hours. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. See for yourself, though, why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia on Monday night. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. As always, though, you must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit is required. Must wager and designate offer market. Max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users for filling site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. On the other side, we'll take you down to Florida. Florida Man Story coming up next. Keep it locked here on FanRun Radio. All right, boys.
Where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going?
Traveling down to Charlotte County, Florida.
Oh, not Charlotte County.
That's right. The Charlotte County Sheriff's Office arrested a woman.
Anybody? Florida woman.
Anybody? What did she do?
Something with cocaine.
She robbed a grocery store with her pet alligator.
That's a good one. That's very
I think
detailed.
We've actually just had that story before.
That's a good one. Right? Sounds so right.
I'm going to say she gave a child drugs and told him it was Motrin.
These are very good examples you guys thrown out there. But no, the Charlotte County Sheriff's Office had to arrest a woman for allegedly exposing herself in public at
an Applebee's.
Or Chili's.
Chili's. Dang it.
Hooters.
No. Those are all great
Texas
answers,
Roadhouse.
No, in public at the county jail. That's right.
What? It should be legal.
It got a little steamy. The sheriff's office said that Danielle Ferrero, 38, was at the jail's visitation center. She's checking out her man or her woman on August 8th for a video call with an inmate with whom she spoke in a sexual manner for about an hour. Little phone sex at the jail.
They don't have conjugals there?
I guess not.
They let them talk for an hour?
Yeah. Video call with an inmate whom she spoke in a sexual manner for about an hour. However, the sheriff's office said that then Ferrero began touching herself inappropriately at the visitation building. Yeah, getting down in Florida, getting steamy. Getting steamy.
I just didn't know they let you talk that long.
Yeah, and lifted her shirt. Not once, not twice, but three separate times to show her chest to the inmate. Ferrero was then arrested on charges for exposure of sexual organs. Didn't even know that was a charge. within a public place and violation of probation or community control.
Is that like a three strikes and you're out rule?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Right.
First time, hey, please don't do
that. What was her last name? Ferrero?
Ferrero.
This is just like, all right, Miss Ferrero.
Like, enough's enough. Like, that's what I'm
You've
saying.
You've shown
like,
your breasts twice, three times. I got to arrest occasions. You for sexual organs.
It's like
showing.
The Key and Peele skit with the...
Oh, the pumps?
Yeah.
Antonio Brown? Yeah. That's where they got that from.
Engel yeah. McKringleberry.
Yeah. One pump. Two pumps. Three pumps is no.
Three pumps, nope, you're out.
Nope, you're out of here. You're out of here. Every time it's the third pump. So, yeah. Talk about, I guess she was trying to get her conjugal visit on per se through Zoom. She's like, hey, it's a new age.
You know what? I think she should be allowed to. I stand with Nelly Ferrero.
I wonder if she was just like, you know, they said three separate occasions. So, was it just like a little peek first? And then she like looked around, like in a little slip. The last one is like full frontal, and
this one
like,
the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last one was like a full shimmy.
So, I'm wondering why she wasn't a little bit more clever with the exposure. I mean, like
maybe
you said,
maybe she just thought the cops would like it.
It was a damn hour call. Like,
yeah, that's again. I just keep going back to the hour long phone call. Since when have you been allowed that much time?
I didn't know that was a rule.
I don't know what the rules are for.
Yeah, I've never been in jail. I don't know.
Good. Good.
Yeah. I mean,
good on us.
I think it's very good too. Like, I don't want to go to jail. Like, I'm cool with that.
We're all jail free.
I'm at the age where I'm too old now. It's like, maybe if that would have happened in the early 20s or something, not that I wanted it to happen, but like, okay, cool. But like, now I'm at the age to just be very embarrassing to go to jail.
back in Clarksville, if you get caught, you're on that booking log.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Well, they have that here, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they have that here, too. It's called Just Busted, or you can just search the book. But I know you're talking about a Clarksville.
I had
friends who checked that every single day.
Daily.
To see
yes.
if they knew anybody that was on the log.
And Mobile Patrol was a good time.
Mobile Patrol. Hey, good old Charlotte, Florida. Your first Florida.
No, Charlotte County, Florida. Oh, yeah.
Charlotte County, excuse me. Good old Charlotte County, Florida. Your first Florida man/woman story of the day. Hour number one's in the books. Hour number two, we'll get to confidence picks. We'll talk a little bit about the games coming up over the weekend. We'll try to get to some NFL. And
Freddy Fridays.
We got Freddy Fridays with Rick Butler from Rocky Top Insider coming up next. Hour number two on deck.